Every month we get to meet people whose individual stories are intertwined with the story of the region. Stories of Southern Oregon are compiled by Maureen Flanagan Battistella for the Southern Oregon Digital Archive, SODA, at the Hannon Library at Southern Oregon University. This month the focus changes just a bit. Maureen is not with us, and we'll take a pause in telling of the stories to learn more about the keeping of the stories, which brings our attention squarely on the Southern Oregon Digital Archive and its keepers. Jeffrey Gayton is the Southern Oregon University librarian in our studio for the first time. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Mary Jane Cedarface is with us as well. She is the Collection Development and Social Sciences Librarian with oversight over the special collections at the Hannon Library. Thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you.
So, Jeff Gayton, start us off. Help us get an understanding of how libraries have changed in the digital age. I mean, are you storing things that you would not once have stored and storing them differently?
I would say that there's some truth to that. I think with the digital collections that we have in the SODA collection, which includes university archives and some other materials that we have, we are documenting and preserving materials in a digital way. But I think we also would have preserved them in print form or as a material object. So really we're engaged in a very similar preservation activity. It's the digitization is not really as much a preservation medium as a way for us to share the materials more widely.
All right. So it's not so much about, you know, you get the stuff in and get to throw it away. It's just that you get to show it to more people because they don't have to come physically to the library.
That's exactly right.
And how extensive are the online offerings? I mean, when I looked at the Southern Oregon Digital Archive and realized Stories of Southern Oregon is one portion of it, and there's a whole page full of other choices there.
There is. We've got 18 discrete collections. They cover topics from biology, mathematics, sociology, history. But the thing that really ties them together is that they are all stories, in a way, of Southern Oregon. They are very regional in orientation. We are focused on Southern Oregon and Northern California in terms of the bioregion and Native American history and all of those things that we're collecting and trying to share.
So Mary Jane Cedarface, as collection development coordinator, what kinds of things do you do in the way of outreach to encourage people to share things?
Well, in my role with Special Collections, we do work with potential donors of local material who hold local historical materials that they will donate them to Special Collections, and we will process them as a collection and eventually digitize the most important materials so that they're freely accessible everywhere. And we do have a focus on the region, as Jeff said, and we also add things that support the university. Some of the digital collections that don't belong to us, but that we have provided access to are the biology department's bumblebee and butterfly collections, and the anthropology department. We've worked with them on two different collections, three actually, two with the Laboratory of Archaeology with Chelsea Rose and Mark DeVesca, and also a different collection, the Collins Collection.
Okay, so now you hit on another one of our repeating segments, Underground History, because we work with Chelsea and Mark on that at the
yes.
Southern Oregon University Laboratory of Anthropology. So are you able essentially to be a pathway to more things because of digitization?
We are able to make things available to anywhere in the universe without them having to come in, especially, you know, normally libraries have, you know, limited hours for their special collections. And this way, anyone, anytime can access them. And we are proponents of open access, which means making materials available freely. So we, when we receive donations, we make sure that that's okay with the donors and we make them available.
I mean, if we did that, if digitizing is okay with the donors?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Have there been cases where people have said, you know, there's stuff I want in the archive, but I don't really want it to be out online?
We have not had that happen. And if it were to happen and there was a legitimate reason, we might be able to say, you know, hold these materials for 70 years, and we would put that note in the processing record and things.
So, Jeff Gayton, as you take materials into collections, I mean, even if they are digitized, you still have physical stuff that you need to find space for. And is that getting to be an issue over the years?
It is starting to become an issue. Our special collections space is starting to get a little tight, and it's been getting, you know, tighter and tighter, and that becomes an issue. But as I said, we really don't see digitization as a preservation. It's really more about a way to share the materials. So it doesn't solve that problem of where we find the space for the materials that we have.
Because again, you still retain the original physical stuff.
We do. Mm-hmm. We do. Right. You know, digital is not forever. It's a great medium for disseminating information, but librarians don't really see that as a preservation medium.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that with the work that Maureen Flanagan Battistella has been doing with the Stories Project, we don't always end up owning the physical materials. She received some grants to go out and work with people in Southern Oregon communities, Century Farms and logging families, and has scanned materials, and the families have retained the originals, but we've been able to make them available.
Okay, yeah, I was going to ask you to get into that that portion. We are talking about Stories of Southern Oregon here on the Jefferson Exchange. Without Maureen Flanagan Battistella and a person telling a story this month, we're hearing more about the storage of the collection and how it all comes together. Mary Jane Cedarface is the social sciences librarian and collection development person at the Hannon Library at Southern Oregon University. Jeffrey Gayton is the university librarian. Got questions and comments? We'd like to hear from you. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So has the formation of the digital archive, as you've realized, okay, these are things that can be digitized, you sort of pulled things into it that weren't there originally?
I'm not sure I understand.
Let me see if I can explain.
Sorry.
So in other words, was there an overall design for the Southern Oregon Digital Archive up front, and you said, we're going to have just these things in it, and then it grew over time, or were you open to the idea that it could turn into a fairly massive thing?
Well, Mary Jane is going to be better, I think, with the history, because she's been with the collection from the beginning, but I can comment on it.
So in 2000, we received an IMLS grant, which is the Institute of Museum and Library Services. And that allowed us, and that was in the very beginning, and we actually have been considered a model library for being a small academic library and doing the types of projects that we've done. And that provided funding for us to create three amazing text-based collections. Initially the First Nations collection, Southern Oregon Native peoples mostly, and then the bioregion collection that emphasized materials relating to our unique bioregion, with a lot of collaboration with tribes and also with agencies like the Forest Service. And then we added the Southern Oregon History Collection. And then over time, we have seen other needs, and we've tried to either handle them with our existing infrastructure or find funding to add more collections, and that will continue into the future.
How tricky can that be to find funding to be able to just to take the stuff in?
Well, Maureen has done an amazing job getting grants to do a lot of this work. We also provide staff time to do this work on the library's dime. We see this as something that is very important to a way for us to connect to the broader community. You asked if we don't have a vision for exactly what collections we're going to be adding, but they all have to be related to Southern Oregon. That's our constituency for the region, and from there it can be wide open, from biology to math to history to sociology to archaeology. But the Southern Oregon is the overarching theme, and that gives us kind of some structure and direction for what we do want to do.
Continuing to digitize and add new collections is in our strategic plan, and we also have a focus on adding collections that directly support Southern Oregon University academic programs as well as Southern Oregon history. So we are continually and gradually adding materials from the university archives so that people can now search old yearbooks and put in their grandmother or grandfather's name and find the yearbook where that person's and get to that person in that page.
Wow, that portion of the archiving sounds like it must be very time-consuming because, I mean, unless you have great optical character recognition stuff, you're going to have people typing things in, aren't you?
We do have good OCR software, yes, yeah.
It's gotten good better. Question. It's gotten better. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty flawless these days.
Is
and it
okay.
Really makes it makes our job so much easier. At the beginning, it was a little bit more touch and go. We couldn't rely on it as heavily. We did have to kind of do some proofreading and double checking to make sure it was accurate. But really, OCR has come a long way when it's typewritten material. You know, when it's handwritten, it can become a little bit more problematic.
Yeah, for handwritten materials, we generally have to type it over, and then it's the typed version goes into the metadata or the background information, and that's what would be searched for the keyword searching.
But somewhere somebody's going to be opening up all these yearbooks and putting them face down in a flatbed scanner, right?
Yeah, so the university archives are what happens in the background. We have grants and we have deadlines, so we always have things like that to work on. And then when there's free time, then we scan as many university materials as we're able to.
Mary Jane Cedarface and Jeffrey Gayton from the Southern Oregon University Library talking to us about the Southern Oregon Digital Archive here on Stories of Southern Oregon, because that's where the Stories of Southern Oregon Archive resides, in a sense, not completely, as Mary Jane explained. And you can join the conversation on the exchange, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. And we have a call here from Helga in Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. Helga, go ahead.
Yes. You have not mentioned archiving photography. I've been here since 1980, and I have a lot of historical events that I have photographed. And so have others, I'm sure.
Okay, so let's find out about the photographic intake from Jeff Gayton. Thanks for that, Helga.
Yeah, thank you very much. Please reach out to me. I would love to speak to you about what you have. The collection is a mix of documentary and photographic material. We have an enormous photo collection as part of the Soto collection. So, yeah, it's not just text material. We've been talking about OCR, and that's important to help you find the materials that you're looking for. But we have a tremendous amount of photographs.
Yeah, we are always thrilled to learn about regional historical photographs because of that visual record that it provides to the past.
So it sounds like Helga needs to make an appointment with one or both of you to talk about the intake here.
Okay. That would be wonderful. Yeah.
All right, Mary Jane Cedarface or Jeffrey Gayton. Thanks for the call, Helga. Appreciate that. Thanks for your support of JPR. So we were talking about specifically about Stories of Southern Oregon. So it sounds like this began as Maureen Flanagan Battistella. And then it came under came into the Southern Oregon Digital Archives? Is that, am I perceiving that correctly?
I would say that it began with the early grants and the early building of several collections. And a few years ago, Maureen, with her indomitable spirit and energy, has been doing so much outreach with people and locating new primary sources like photographs and other documents. So that's the focus, has been the focus for the last few years. And it's been, we appreciate her work so much.
Oh, we do too, because she basically just puts it on a platter for us and says, here's the person I've talked to, and you can talk to them again. So it's been a joy to work with Maureen on Stories of Southern Oregon. I want to ask about some of the collections at the library, and we've already talked about the First Nations collection. Given the fate of tribes in Southern Oregon, Mary Jane Cedarface, is the physical archive anywhere near what you'd like it to be?
Well, our First Nations collection is unique in that it contains a lot of materials, documentary materials, that are either, because of copyright restrictions, either in the public domain or published by the federal government. And we did outreach to the tribes to find out what would best serve them. But we don't maintain tribal records. Each tribe maintains their own records. And we try to provide access to materials like old native language dictionaries that they may be able to use in language revitalization efforts and things like that. So it is a bit different from our other collections.
What kinds of native languages then?
Tecoma, Klamath. We have amazing some of the important early ethnolinguists were Gatchet and Sapir. We have all their works. If they were published before 1923, which is necessary for copyright for them to be in the public domain.
Oh, right. Yeah, sure. 75 years plus the life of the author, life of the author plus 75 years.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Yeah. it's more than that, isn't it? Yeah, it's much more than 75. Yeah, it's 95, I'm looking, I'm looking at.
Yeah, it keeps getting extended. And there's a lot of excitement right now in our world with a huge chunk of material coming into the public domain. It seems like the copyright has always been extended and extended and extended, and this is really a new era in which Congress has not been extending copyright, and an enormous amount of material is going to be coming into the public domain. And
what kinds of materials are you thinking
Great Gatsby.
Oh, sure. Scott Fitzgerald's works would be old enough.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, there's some amazing stuff that's suddenly going to be freely available to everyone.
So I know I keep coming back to the point of physical space, because there are artifacts that come. I mean, and not only that, but just storing the papers that you're talking about that you've been able to digitize as well, and it becomes an issue of space. But, I mean, in some sense, are you becoming sort of a hybrid of library and museum?
I think you could look at it that way. I mean, we have the Jack Schumann's amazing instrument collection. We have physical objects that, you know, that are not print books and photographs. We do have material objects, material artifacts. The Institute for Museum and Libraries support is a supporter of our grants, and that's museum and libraries. So there is a relationship. There's kind of a I wouldn't try to say that there's a bright line between a library and a museum, especially when it comes to the digital collections, because we do have photographs of objects. So we're really trying to share as much of the culture, and some of that is going to be material culture. We've got the Chinese Material Culture Collection. These are photographs of objects. We don't house those objects, but we are trying to bridge that gap and make them more available to people.
So where do the objects reside?
In the anthropology program. Mm-hmm. And typically, I mean, the Jack Schumann musical instrument collection is an exception, but typically we decline artifact collections because we're not curators of physical materials. We're paper people, and we have space for paper. We have a climate-controlled, secure area to store materials that are unique.
But there are some additional storage considerations, I would think, with artifacts.
Yes, yeah.
That go beyond just keeping your paper fresh.
Right.
Yeah. So is there, as you make, well, let me make two questions then. One about IT. First of all, I mean, who's providing the online storage space for all this? And do you get calls daily from the IT department at Southern Oregon University saying you're exceeding your storage space?
No,
I only say that because we've gotten those same calls too.
Sure. So we don't host our collections locally. Mm-hmm. There's a company that we work with that provides the hosting and the infrastructure to distribute the collection. And what we actually did very recently was we migrated. We used to have two platforms for it, one for print, more or less, and one for photographs. And that was because we started off early in this whole process. We were on the cutting edge of digitization, and there wasn't a platform that could do both very well. Now that world doesn't exist anymore. We have one company. So you can now search across the entire collection, which you didn't used to be able to do before.
And the final question then is there one big chunk of stuff you're missing that you'd really love to have in the Southern Oregon Digital Archive that you're just sort of waiting for?
Oh.
Well, nothing comes to my mind, and Helga's call just makes, you know, that just reinforces the idea that there are treasures out there that we haven't learned about yet.
All right. All kinds of things that still could be in the Southern Oregon Digital Archives down the road, in addition to Stories of Southern Oregon. This is this month's edition of Stories of Southern Oregon, and we're talking about the archive itself. Jeffrey Gayton is the Southern Oregon University librarian. Mary Jane Cedarface is the Collection Development and Social Sciences librarian. And if you have things you might want to offer to the Digital Archive, by all means, contact them at the Hannon Library at Southern Oregon University. Thank you both for joining us for this month's edition of Stories of Southern Oregon.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you.